This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. Well, this week, we're headed to Chicago to spend some time with retiree David Blazin. He witnessed a murder, even though that's not what the police are saying. I'm excited to have the 2024 BIBA Cozy Mystery winner on Books to the Ceiling today, where we get to experience author David Mark's many twists and turns in storytelling. Here's a little more about the book. In the heart of Chicago, where shadows conceal secrets and organized crime reigns, one retiree embarks on an extraordinary journey. David Blazin didn't know what to expect from retirement. Witnessing a murder that police are calling a suicide definitely was not how he planned to spend his golden years. With a strong need to know what happened to the victim and why, David attends the funeral where he discovers an unusual cast of characters in attendance. The FBI, the front-runner candidate for mayor of Chicago, disciples of Chicago's two dirtiest crime lords, and dozens of police officers. David begins to investigate why all these people cared about the victim and why no one was calling it a murder. In his search for truth and justice, he gets caught in a web of contentious situations, each filled with a mixture of humor and suspense. The further his investigation goes, the more he realizes he shouldn't be asking who killed the victim or why it was being covered up. As David ultimately is confronted with becoming a criminal himself, the real question he has to ask is, how much bad can he justify in the name of good? As one reviewer said, this book has the many twists and turns that a great mystery will throw at the reader. It is a fun read, witty and suspenseful, with many surprises turning up throughout the story. If you think you have this story figured out, you don't. One really great thing about this book is all net proceeds from Boomsters will be donated to nonprofit organizations benefiting senior veterans. Now, we have an excerpt from Boomsters, and we're going to be doing it a little bit differently. There is an audiobook version of Boomsters out, and the narrator won the 2024 Audiobook Narration Award for Mystery from Society of Voice Arts and Sciences. So I'm going to take the week off as we hear BJ Harrison reading Boomsters.
We are gathered here today before God and in the company of loved ones to celebrate life, Rabbi Rabinowitz said. The life of... He paused. The life of... Another pause. Finally, he pulled a note card from his pocket. We are here to celebrate the life of Melvin Weinberg.
I adjusted my tie as I leaned toward Mary.
More like celebrating his death, I said.
She rolled her eyes as she listened to the rabbi.
Melvin, or Mel, as most of you probably knew him, was a husband and a father. A man whose life was cut short at the age of 56. The world will not be the same without him.
Yeah, it will be safer now, I whispered to Mary,
who responded with an elbow to my left kidney.
What?
Clearly this rabbi never met Mel.
Candidly, I had never met Mel either, but I was confident I knew more about him than any of the 200 or so people at the funeral. My guess was most were here not because Mel would be missed, but because so many people wanted to confirm he was dead.
When you're in your 70s like I am, you become familiar with funerals and the certain routine that comes with them. But it was easy to see nothing was routine about this one. Sure, the rabbi forgot the dead man's name, but now he was extolling Mel's virtues. Mel had no virtues. He was a murderer, a rapist, and a gambler. You can't live life as a jerk and die a mensch. Clearly, the rabbi was officiating as a favor to someone. But that wasn't all that was off. Those in attendance were also peculiar. First, a half dozen FBI agents patrolled the room. Sarah Cutler, the woman expected to be Chicago's next mayor, was sitting in the front row for all to see. Scattered throughout were members and employees from the West Coast Club, a fitness center I've worked out at for more than 20 years, and a place I know Mel was no member of. Then there was the crowd in the back row. On one side sat associates of Tony Santori, the head of the notorious Italian crime family. Santori expanded his family's corrupt and dishonorable reign from New Jersey to the Midwest 6 years ago. And although he wasn't in attendance, his presence was certainly felt. On the other side were members of the Deli Boys, a pack of Jews who'd owned Chicago's streets for decades, at least until Santori arrived. Solomon Feldman was their leader, though he too was not present. A line of uniformed Chicago police officers blanketed the room's back wall, there primarily to keep the peace between the two families. Keep the peace? At a funeral? Like I said, the whole scene was bizarre. Then again, I guess it was fitting for the unique set of circumstances surrounding Mel Weinberg's death. Why they were there was a legitimate question, as was this. As a retired businessman who spent 50 years selling trinkets like light-up Christmas necklaces and pens that sang Yankee Doodle Dandy, what the hell was I doing there? To answer that question, I needed to take a step back. David Blazin is my name. Born soon after World War II ended, at 8 pounds and who cares how many ounces. Growing up, I loved to watch Saturday morning television, where Superman stood for justice and Captain America defended our country from evil. All the shows I gravitated toward appealed to me because they focused on doing the right thing, no matter if the hero was a rifleman or a collie. I liked when bad people were caught and justice prevailed. When I couldn't find the right story on our black and white TV, I'd find it in my piles of G.I. Joe comic books. Before I fantasized about girls, I dreamed about being G.I. Joe. The best education I got came from my World War II veteran dad, a Navy man who was the smartest person I knew, even though he never made it past the fifth grade. From him, I learned how to be human. His motto was simple. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
And that was an excerpt from Boomsters, read by B.J. Harrison. Boomsters is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Bookshop.org, Goodreads, and the publisher's website, Wheatmark. Now here's a little more about our author. David Marks launched DM Merchandising, a wholesale marketplace for business owners, in 1988. He spent 30 years relying on his creativity in the hopes of developing the world's greatest impulse products. He retired in 2018, thrilled for a new chapter in life, only to discover his creativity had hit a brick wall. One day, he was an innovative workaholic with a team of more than 200 employees. The next day, he found himself with no forum to exercise his mind. Desperate to do something creative, he imagined a fictitious character facing the same traumatic reality of retirement. Inspired by watching Crime Stoppers on TV, David began pondering the question of how much bad could be justified in the name of good. With no clerical staff and limited typing skills, he put his thumb to work and began tapping out a story on his iPhone. A book was never the goal. The exercise was simply meant to help keep his mind sharp. But in the process, Boomsters was born. You can catch up with David Marks at the website boomsters.com, and he is on BookBub at David_Marks. That's all we have this week on Books to the Ceiling. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate, review, or follow us. You can sign up for us on our Facebook page, or better yet, take a moment to tell other mystery readers about Books to the Ceiling. Books to the Ceiling is a part of my blog at teresatrent.blog, and everything that I read on Books to the Ceiling is also listed on the blog. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next week with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.